The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained here in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. And as everyone knows, and it was great with Will today, especially because he was saying it with me, stand up. I know a lot of people sit down, take a deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and repeat, I am a winner, I am a champion. This is many, many things that I do here. Right now, I've been saying all day, I'm a child of fortune. Why? Because we as the species out there are the only ones that can rewire ourselves. Okay? And I am doing major rewiring right now, and I'm learning not only how the feet and the brain work together, and you should go out and look at a word called proprioception. You'd be amazed at what you don't know about your feet. And I'm also doing a lot of stuff with grip right now because we know the hands connect to the brain too. We got our good friend Roger LaPointe coming in shortly. We were talking for a while here. This is what I believe, and I think I told Roger it, and if I didn't, well, he'll know now for sure. I've been studying a lot of the lifters, a lot of the older ones, a lot of strong men. A lot of stuff. And I've come up with this hypothesis, and I do believe I'm right, because I am putting it into my stuff more and more. I believe the ones that were super strong. Now, I know there's a lot of things that go into it, but what I noticed, they all had one thing in common. They all had a nasty grip. Think about that. We might even get into that in the show. Just ponder that if we don't, because I'm telling you right now, you might be missing out on something. And there's also a digit on your hand that you need to make as huge and as padded as possible. And we might get into that too. So I'm not wasting any time here. That's all I'm saying. I'm dead serious what I want to do in 18. I've got invitations all over. I've had people say to me, well, you've been going. Well, here's what it is. Sponsorship or not, it costs a lot of money where I want to go. I want to go four places. I got invitations to all four, Iceland, Scotland, Wales, and Ireland. Okay? That ain't cheap, and I can't stay with people indefinitely, even though they probably let me. But I would like to go there for a month and see everything. As Martin Janzik says to me, wink, wink, I'm going to make a stone lifter out of you yet. Okay? Martin can say that to me because Martin's no bullshit, all right? And we'll get into this more. And we got a hell of a show, and I'm going to get to that very quickly. Second thing, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Winners and Champions, Inc., 14 modules. I'm telling you, with the 15th coming, it's the best stuff out there. And Roger talks with me about a lot of things a lot of people don't. Because we go back in time with a lot of the tried and true, the squats, obviously, the high shrugs, the pullovers, the dips, all the stuff that, as I call them, they're man makers. But they don't come in 90 days, specially gift wrapped for your pleasure, okay? We'll get into that. That's there. Also, contribute to both companies. If you go out to the button, it'll tell you three ways to do it. If you just want to give the money for a cup of coffee, go out to my PayPal account, which is FiorelloBarbell@NICAP.R.com, and we thank you in advance. Go out to MotivationMuscle.com/category/podcast. Just go out and look at all the shows that Roger and I have done. Roger's been on here with me for over 3 years now. He was my first guest. And we've got a lot of people that are consistent, but Roger still wears the mantle of being the first one and on here the longest. Also, too, sign up for the free newsletter and motivationandmuscle.com. It's right there. Douglas Graham, who's a hell of a good friend of ours here, one hell of a mace guy. He's over in the UK. He and I have been working on him. It's not finished, but goddamn, they look good. And that's what all that matters. Don't forget our YouTube channel, Fiorello Barbell, Real Men, Real Strength. You go out there and see a ton of video, me speaking, et cetera, et cetera. And that's the way it is. All right. Well, let me give you a little information on Roger. As soon as I pull this up. Number one, he's the president of Atomic Athletic. He's an Olympic lifter and competitor, stone lifter, and he is a strength historian. And like I said, I'm working on some pretty wild mid-range dead start, dead stop squats, whatever you want to call, with a very good mutual friend of ours, John McKean. And we were talking the other day, and Roger's name came up, and we're going to get Roger in some way, somehow, involved in this big project of power rack training. As John says, with me, you're the only one that I've met that really wants to get serious and bring it back. We'll bring it back. It's that important. So, with no further ado, welcome, Rog. It's always an honor to have you on the show, and we're nearing 2017, and let's go out with a fucking bang and come in with a boom in 18. So welcome back, brother.
Hey, thanks, Eric. Glad to be here.
Glad to have you. Give out Atomic's website, anything I missed, and we'll get started.
Yeah, so it's atomicathletic.com, and, you know, I've been operating it since 99, so it's been quite a while.
Yeah.
And the one new thing that I think I mentioned last show, in fact, I know I did, with the old photo collection.
Yeah, yep.
That I've got.
Yep.
I've only got, as of right now, I've only got 4 photos on this new site, but
okay.
It's fantastic.
Yep.
Because it gives people an opportunity to actually order different size photos on genuine photo paper. This is not, somebody doing some weird, crappy Xerox thing or something like that. This is genuine photography.
Yeah.
Based stuff. So doing this through the Garage Gym Journal, the print publication.
Yep.
And so if you go, and you can go there right now, garagegymjournal.photoreflect.com. So that second word there is photoreflect. It's photoreflect.com. And there, you know, some different options for ordering too.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, large prints, like very large ones, you know, almost poster size.
Yeah.
Some of them I actually have the option of playing cards
mm-hmm.
with the photos on them. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. You know,
that's kind
yeah.
of a old school
yep.
strength kind of thing.
Yep.
But the one that I'm looking at right now is a proof set of Sig Klein photos that I own.
Oh, cool. Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent.
You know, it's actually 12 shots on one sheet vertically aligned, where these were genuine proofs from a photo shoot that he did.
Nice.
And I'm guessing he was in his early 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, he looks every bit the old-time strongman that he was.
Yeah.
You know, with that, you know, there was a muscle density that they had. And, you know, when I was a kid, I used to hear muscle density. I'm like, what the hell does that mean?
Right, right.
But you look at those old guys, and you know what it means.
Yep.
Because it's not this, like, bloated, sort of cartoonish stuff.
Yeah, weak.
It's that sort of carved out of marble look. And, the muscle bellies might not be as big as what you see today. And yet these guys were moving bigger weights.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which would I rather have? if I'm built like that, it's going to be hard enough for me to buy a suit coat. You know what I mean?
I know the feeling well. You're a tailor's nightmare when they see you walk through a door, let me tell you. That's the whole thing.
Or their best customer.
That's true.
Because everything's got to be custom made.
Absolutely. That's the thing. So, we're going to talk.
We're going to be doing what? Basic power rack stuff today, right?
Yeah. Mainly because the impact, I'll let Roger, give some history and stuff. Obviously, we'll talk about. But, I've been talking about this a lot, and when I contacted Roger and told him, what John and I have been up to and what we're doing, and obviously this is going to be a lot different than what we're going to talk about today with a beginner, but this really got me really fired up because, as Roger will tell you, I'm sure, the power rack is probably more, it falls in line of dinosaurs with obviously dips and pullovers and even good strict barbell curls, anything like that where it's really kind of gone away. And since I've always used a power rack because I'm alone and I need safety, especially if I'm using big stuff, all right? So John and I had read an article from 94 in Hard Gainer that John wrote for, and it talked about these things called middies. Now, I call them mashing middies because these things will mash you, literally. Now, there's very little leverage with this stuff, and I will caution anybody that listens to this who is an experienced lifter, plan on dropping your weights considerably in some things. And most people say, well, it's at that range in the rack. I never realized this, and John had told me this, Raj. It was this. It's by far the hardest point to work in the rack. I'm like, it's the middle. But, and I'll reiterate that again. By far the hardest point to work in a rack. And most people don't stick with it for very long because it is so demanding on your system. Plus,
it's crushing for the ego.
It's very crushing. Yes.
This is where the mental aspect of the game comes in.
Yep.
Where if you're going to, here's the old strength coach at BGSU told me a long time ago, a guy named Aaron Hillman. I think he's at Iowa now, but he had also coached at U of M and I think Illinois.
Yep.
So he told me, he says, I don't stress bench presses or curls.
Yep.
And I said, but isn't the bench press actually one of the lifts that, like, the NFL uses?
Right. Oh, yeah, test? Yeah, yeah.
And he says, well, yeah. But here's the thing. Somehow, the guys will always get their bench presses and curls in.
Yep.
That always happens.
Yeah, they'll get it.
It's the stuff that's an ego killer that they'll try to avoid.
Without a doubt. Well, you and I both know nobody wants anybody to see them when they've seen them use whatever, and they'll be like, what are you doing there? Well, here's the thing with this mid stuff, and then we're going to get right into everything else. But this is a hell of a segue because the thing is with this is I'm not going to get into naming all the things I'm doing, but I can reassure you, if there's any leverage, it's very little, but the majority of it is no leverage. And when you are taking your top weight for the day and pinning it against a set of rods and hold it for as long as you can, I got to tell you, man, you'll know if you got any manhood in you or not. Because as I was telling Roger, I even went back to the days of when John wrote in Hard Gainer about the heavy hands with Dr. Leonard Schwartz, okay? He was an actual MD that wrote a book in the 80s on using heavy hands. And John developed it even more with Dr. Schwartz, and that was the long strength good mornings, and then it would be like a chin, squat pull-up, they call it. Now, The minimum you should do with this stuff is 20 to 30 minutes, literally. I mean, you have to have your system ignited to do this. Now, when you do that, and people be like, are you out of your mind? Figure whatever your weight is. Say you're going to dead start 400 pounds that day. You have to train yourself, what Roger just said, mentally, emotionally, and especially your spirit with this thing. You're going to come in and do two sets. So say it's 400, and usually when you say a number like that, it'll be a 40-pound jump. So I would open with 360 and go to 400. Let me tell you something. Go try that. I don't care how good of a squatter you are or what, and start that from a dead start. And I guarantee I'd be shocked if hardly anybody did it. It is absolutely ruthless to you. And this is what got me thinking. I said, okay, I talked to John for a few hours Saturday, and Roger's name came up, and I had to contact him anyways before the end of the year because we were hit and miss in the last few weeks with shows. So I said, let's talk to him. Obviously, you know, John and Roger go back a long way too. Make a long story short, that's why we're doing this today. Now, Rog, obviously, you know, you being part of York for quite a while, and then we even move, you know, earlier than York, and a lot of people know the story of Bill March and the Power Rack and Ziggler and all this stuff going on. But for the young kids that are listening to this for the first time, just tell them briefly, you know, how did it start out? And then we're going to obviously incorporate it into the three lifts. And the three lifts for us are going to be overhead. It can be either a deadlift or a bent row. I'm doing rows right now. I don't care. We can do either. But the squat is, there isn't going to be anything but the squat. So give our young friends out there and everybody else a little bit of history with the power rack, please.
All right. So the power rack evolved. It's not one of these things that somebody just said, I invented this brand new thing and it's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And, it, you know, we've got it chromed with double powder coat paint jobs.
Yep.
You know, two-tone. And we've got, you know, gussets and roller bearings and all kinds of clever stuff. That's great. Except that's not how it developed. The way it developed is you had old-time strongmen. And I'm talking even before the vaudevillian guys.
Yep.
You know, they've got woodcuts of guys doing hand and thigh lifts in an apparatus standing above an small elephants.
Yep.
And lifting them like that. I think it was Winship who did that in the late 1700s. You can look them up online. What you're talking about is partial movements.
Yep.
Right there. And the guy didn't start off by lifting elephants.
Nope. Hardly.
It's, you know, that's literally the elephant in the room right there.
Exactly.
It takes years of training to do this kind of thing. And to some extent, and this is where dads or moms who are training kids,
yep,
and you see this today, where you've got these kids starting off in lifting, and people will say, "Oh no, you don't want a kid to lift."
Yeah,
really? Because I've been to farm country quite a bit. I kind of live in farm country, and these farmer kids, they have to work hard out there. Even today with the machinery and all that kind of stuff, there's hard work involved.
Yep.
And you don't see a lot of that with kids who grow up doing nothing but playing on computers.
That's right.
So, even though you've always had strongmen who might be 18, 19 years old and doing just absolutely incredible numbers, they didn't start as 15 or 16-year-olds. They started young, and moved up into it, because you've got to build that tendon capacity and you've got to build bone density. You've got to build connective tissue to be able to do that sort of thing. And I encourage anybody to do this in any sport. And the reason is because it applies to all sports. So whether you want to play basketball or become the world's greatest bench presser, you've still got to build connective tissue.
Yep.
You want to be a swimmer. You want to be a diver. It doesn't matter. Any sport is going to need it. So these are all good things to do. So you've got guys doing these short range of motion things in their sideshow and circus acts, right?
Yep.
Well, come time for vaudeville, all of a sudden there was a big change, because you had vaudevillian shows going on where you had these, 10,000 seat showrooms where people were doing all kinds of live acts, you know, everything from a comedy act to acrobatics to magic shows, whatever, because you had big cities at that point. So people are watching these live shows, and all of a sudden there was a guy named Sandow who had a completely different look than all of the other strongmen. So instead of being the big, beefy, roundish kind of guy that you saw, just like in most of the World's Strongest Man.
Yeah, like a Louis Cyr back in the day, style. Yep.
Exactly. Big barrel-chested guy, probably looked not unlike the defensive line to any NFL football team.
Yep.
And there are a lot of NFL fans out there. That's a physique that has a purpose, right?
Yeah.
Well, then all of a sudden, this bodybuilder look came in with the low body fat. And you ended up with some guys that had a strong look because their muscles were sort of blown up looking, but they weren't that strong. And then you had other guys who weren't fat, but had muscle density. And those are the guys like the Herman Gorners of the world, where Gorner wasn't a fat guy. Gorner was one of these muscle density guys. And you were talking about grip strength?
Sure.
Gorner's the man
when
it comes to grip strength.
Oh, yeah.
You know, what did he do, a 701 one-hand barbell deadlift or something?
Yeah.
I mean, just absolute insanity. But what you started getting is, in addition to doing the lifts, these were the competitive lifts that guys would do on stage that a lot of the bodybuilder types who are just into posing would do, because they didn't know how to do a one-hand snatch. They didn't know how to do a two-hand clean and jerk. A thick-handled dumbbell press with a clean off the floor to the shoulder wasn't going to happen with those guys. But in the Olympics, they did have sports like that, and the accessory lifts suddenly became popular. The accessory lifts became what we think of today as the three power lifts. Mm-hmm. Your squat, your deadlift, and your bench press. And there was a really – one of the early guys that was both a bodybuilder and a lifter, but if you look at him, he's a very different physique than most of the bodybuilders certainly that you see today.
Sure.
He was more like a Gorner who could actually pose, and that was John Grimmick.
Yep.
So Grimmick started genuinely training as a teenager. And he had a weird setup at his house. So he wanted to lift really heavy, but he wanted to be safe about it. So he had to lift for some reason. God knows why. This is the space that his parents gave him in the attic. So what did he do? He hung chains
on
the ceiling.
Yep.
And people say, oh, chain lifting. I understand that. You lift, you do your bench press, and every link you lift off the ground, it becomes a heavier weight. No, that's not what we're talking about here. He happened to use chains. He could have used steel cables. He could have used super heavy duty nylon straps, whatever. Because what he was doing is changing the height at which he started his lift. And some people might think, oh, you mean like a safety rack? Often you'll go to I've been in the fitness business selling stuff and going to fitness stores and that sort of thing. And there aren't as many as there used to be, thanks to Amazon and whatnot. Yep. But there was a time when you could go to a specialty fitness store or a really good sporting goods store.
Hey, not to interrupt you, just think about how big Sears was at one time with weights.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sears sold great weights.
Sears Roebuck, folks.
Yeah. You could buy a bench at Sears in the 60s.
Yeah.
And you could have been doing 400-pound bench presses off of it.
Yeah, because I was reading all about that, a guy I remember from the days of the Y, I mean, he was probably when we were 10 or 11, I bet you he was in his 20s, and he knew a lot of shit, and I remember him talking about some of the plates he bought.
Was it Roberts Barbell?
That was one of them. Yep, Roberts, but there was another one, and I don't know if they were out your way. There was a company here forever. They were called Montgomery Wards.
Montgomery.
Now, this guy, I don't know, he bought them there. And I remember I saw the set, and these things were stout, man. I'm talking 10-pound plates that looked like small 1-inch 25s, if you can envision that. And I'm saying to myself, my God, man, you couldn't find stuff like that. You know, when I started, there was a few.
You know who that probably was?
Who was it?
There's a little company out of New Jersey.
Yep.
My guess is they were probably not far from Philadelphia because all the foundries were there. That's where the Milo Barbell Company was based, Philadelphia. But there was, after Milo was bought by York, there was a company called the Burr Barbell Company.
I've heard of them, yep.
RR.
Yep.
Now, the Burr Barbell Company had funny sizes for everything.
Yeah.
Like the diameter of their 10-pound plates was like the diameter of most 5-pound plates.
Sure.
But they were thick.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
cool. You know, it was for 1-inch exercise bars.
Yeah, yeah.
But the Burr Barbell Company was known because they actually ground and milled all of their plates. They were probably the most accurate plate out there, more accurate than the York stuff, unless you bought the really high end.
High end,
York
had
plates
at
that time.
Yep.
But Burr and I know about Burr because my dad had Burr barbell plates that I lifted on when I was a kid.
Yep, yep.
And, you know, I never knew, I couldn't find out anything about the Burr Barbell Company until I worked at York in the mid 90s.
Okay.
And the guys at York were like, oh, Burr, God, we wish we could have been as good as Burr.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I don't think Burr made Olympic equipment. I think they only made
just 1-inch stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the exercise bars.
Yeah, but you know something? That stuff, good quality like that. I mean, look, I'm used to Olympic. I still use some 1-inch stuff. I wouldn't have a problem, obviously, with the weights you're using now. You can never get enough plates, I'm sure. But I love that. I love that stuff. I love it.
Let me tell you something.
What?
My buddy David Shaw.
Yep.
Only ever lifted on standard size plates.
Well, we know that he lifted big, so obviously you can find them. You know,
Well, I've got a pair of 75s that I got at a garage sale years ago. York Barbell 75-pound plates that are standard size. York made hundreds that were standard size. Several companies have over the years. They typically quit making them because, you know, how many standard size 100-pound plates are you ever going to sell?
Exactly. Exactly. That's one thing I want to do. Once things start moving in 18, I'm going to hit every garage sale and do all that again. Because in the back of my mind somewhere, somebody's got some old York stuff, whether it's a power rack, whatever, sitting somewhere that's been collecting dust for the last 30 years. And I'm going to hit it, and I'm going to walk out of there with the whole thing, man. That's what I want to do. I love all that stuff, the old dumbbells, anything. I'm going to jump on, because that is the fun of lifting, besides actually lifting the weights, is going out and doing it. Go ahead.
Getting back to this little bit of history here.
Yep.
So Grimmick had his weights suspended from the ceiling.
Yep.
So he was doing bottom position lifts, essentially. And now he didn't have a power rack set up with it. It was just a start position. So he would change the height, and that would be the only difference. The next guy in this evolution, in my opinion, you know, there might be other guys in there. I'd love to hear about them if somebody knows of them. But is Bob Peoples.
Oh, yeah.
So Bob Peoples was known as a deadlifter. And what did Bob deadlift? Like
727, I believe, was overhand.
So he did an overhand, and I don't think he used a hook even, did he?
No, I don't think he did. And everybody should know this. I don't think Bob Peoples weighed any more than 180 pounds, too.
No. He was he got up to like 180 pounds. You see these pictures of him, and the guy didn't have any extra body fat.
Nope.
He was, you know. So essentially what Peoples did is he lifted in a pit, right?
Yep. Dug out. It was like in a cellar, all stone. And you know what was real interesting about him is that, and I'll get right to you, I mean, this guy worked on his family's farm all day. I mean, and then he'd go and lift. And I remember reading, because I've got the book somewhere, he would do a few movements, but the two he used to always key on would be the deadlift and the squat. And how he did it was he would do one of the lifts he was doing at the time until he started feeling stale, and he'd go to the other lift. So pretty common sense stuff that most people have no clue anymore. Go ahead, take it, Bob.
Well, and it with him, it would have been a bottom position start.
Absolutely.
Like, and I believe the story goes, he had different heights in this pit that he lifted from.
Yep.
And I think at some point he actually developed rods or something for the pit.
Yep.
But, once again, it's a bottom position start type movement, but it's partials.
Yep.
So, if you're doing a deadlift off the floor, you've got to break it off the floor.
Yep.
If you're doing the deadlift from mid-thigh, which is, not much of a movement.
Nope.
You should be able to use a whole hell of a lot more weight.
Yes, you should. And I'll tell you another thing. I don't know if I read it from him or Anderson. When my brother, he had equipment, but no squat racks, nothing, because we were doing some stuff at his house. We were doing just like the old guys used to do. We were digging holes in the ground. And that's how we were training. That's what we were doing. Yep.
This is not expensive stuff here. This is real working class. I don't have options.
Right.
It was enough to get a barbell and some plates. Before Shaw died.
Right.
He told me that he got his first plates from some foundry that was local in Los Angeles that had some kind of plates that he had holes drilled through.
Yeah.
And there might have been holes in them, but he had to make them the right size, and they were big and heavy.
Yeah.
And they were not standardized in any way. His power rack.
Yep.
And, you know, I'm so glad he sent me photos of this before he passed away. You know, he was still using the same power rack he built as a teenager.
Yeah.
The week he died.
Yeah. Well, that stuff's amazing.
Well, it was set in the concrete, and it was made out of, I think he told me it was 3-inch black cast plumbing pipe.
Yeah, you're not going to bend or break that stuff.
He had to take those pieces to some machine shop
yep.
to have them drilled slowly
yep.
with, you know, oil.
Yeah, that's going on a lathe for sure to do that, yeah.
So, you know, and it was narrow.
Yep.
So after Peoples and somewhat contemporary with Peoples, you had because ideas, you know, like all science, you might have three different guys discover radio waves at the same time.
Sure, absolutely. Yep.
Szymanski started having his back problems in the 50s. And so he decided to start doing things like lay on his back and do bench presses so that his back wouldn't hurt standing up.
Sure.
Well, he also started saying, you know, I can squat more if I don't have to clean the damn barbell first.
Right.
So he built what, you know, I've seen pictures of it. I lifted in one that was made in Dr. Bob's basement, probably around 1980, unless he had moved it in there. He didn't tell me that he had. I'm pretty sure he built it in there.
Mm-hmm.
But the this squat rack was sort of a peg-type angled squat rack, which is not the best design.
Right.
But you've got a whole bunch of different points that you can start from. And if you want to do things like grip work or shrugs, you can set it at the right height. You don't have to lift it off the ground first. You can use that double whatever you can pick off the ground kind of weight by having it a 1-inch movement. And Szymanski did things like that where, he would work his grip. He'd work shrugging movements and things like that
mm-hmm.
after he was done doing the quick lifts. So this comes to my kid.
Yeah, okay.
So you're going to love this story. We're getting ready for the all-around nationals that happened in June.
Yep.
Okay. Jackson and I are going through the records. And, you know, you can pull the records off the all-round weightlifting website. I'm a big proponent of the All-Round Weightlifting mm-hmm. Association. And, you know, don't just start printing them off because it's probably a 100-page
document.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, because, you know, you've got men's and women's records in there. You've probably got 150 different lifts. And then you've got all of the age groups and weight classes. So we've got them pulled up as PDFs on the computer. Jackson's looking at it, and he's in the 30-kilo weight class.
There you go. Yeah.
He's 66 pounds.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So he's a 10-year-old.
Yep.
And he's very active. He's got no extra body fat. He looks like a skinny kid, right?
Yep, yep.
And he's looking at this record, and he says, so what's up with this squat here, Dad? I said, well, what do you mean what's up with a squat? Look at the record. I said, you know, the all-rounds don't do a power lifter's squat.
Right.
They've got – I think he said as a squat in a power rack or something or bottom position. Whatever it was, we'll just call it a squat. And he says, Dad, there's an error in here. I said, oh, really? What is it? He says, this kid did almost 200 pounds for a squat at my body weight and age. I said, it's not inconceivable, man.
Right.
And he says, no, no. I said 200 pounds. I weigh 66. And I said, yeah, you know, the kid gets in the rack and pulls, you know, the weight out and
yep.
does his squat and puts it back. And my son says, what? I said, you're out of your mind, Dad. There's no way. I said 200 pounds, Dad, okay? And I said, yeah. He says, there is no way a 66-pound kid picked a 200-pound barbell up off the ground, cleaned it to his shoulders, pressed it overhead, set it on his shoulders, did a squat, and then reversed the process. That would be more than three times his body weight, and it's not happening. And I said, Jackson, did it out of a rack. He says, out of a rack? What are you talking about? And I said, a rack, like squat stands, a power rack or something. I said, look, here's a picture. And I showed him some picture online of a guy doing a squat in a power rack. He's like, oh, are you kidding me? There's a rack to do that? And I said, yeah. He says, well, why don't we have one here? I said, because I didn't want to train you with a rack. I wanted you to learn how to do
right,
it
right.
the right way.
Right.
And he's like, oh, come on. Just get a rack for me. I'm like, oh, okay. Maybe you're ready.
Yeah.
So I did.
Yeah.
And so what I did is, and this is, I mentioned this guy's gym because it's my favorite gym in Michigan. Okay. the guy's name is John Osterley. It's mm-hmm. called the West Side Gym, and it's in Chelsea, Michigan. Okay.
Yep.
It's been there for 30 years. And John started it. He's still the owner. It's in his parents' old Pontiac dealership.
Oh, wow.
So you go into downtown Chelsea, which is outside of Ann Arbor.
Yep.
Anybody who's going to Ann Arbor, you drive 15 minutes outside of Ann Arbor to this little farm town. And he is quite literally right next to the grain silos. Okay. And in the downtown. And you'll see that old classic Pontiac sign from probably from the 30s. It's glass.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. And then the West Side Gym neon signs in the windows. And I did a I've sold John equipment many times over the years. But John is an equipment geek. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, John has an actual Kel isolateral Smith machine, meaning it's like using dumbbells as a Smith machine. It's really amazing and super overbuilt and all that kind of stuff. He's mm-hmm. got, you know, all kinds of different rack systems and, you know, growing up in a car dealership, he learned how to weld.
Sure.
So, you know, like the old strongman weights that you see that are like pyramids.
Sure.
You know, like a four-sided triangle pyramid
mm-hmm.
with a you know, an eye bolt sticking out of the top, and you
yep.
can do your
You can hang your – well, if you want to do
yeah.
squats and all that, you can hang something.
You can do all of that stuff.
Yep.
But, you know, you always see a guy doing like a one-handed holdout with one of those.
Absolutely. Kind of yep. Yep. Yep.
John made a set of those of Jeez. Different weights for himself out of plate steel, and they're shot loaded.
That's insane.
Yeah. It's just – it's like I love going to that gym when
uh-huh.
I'm in town there
yeah.
because – there's always something else, and he's gotten all kinds of things from me over the years that are
yeah.
really, you know, stones and
yeah.
clubs and
all the good stuff.
Yeah,
yep.
yeah, yeah. All that kind of thing. He's got tons and tons of iron. It's two floors. It's little rooms. And if you want to go do your cardio, he's got rooms full of all kinds of cardio. But he's also got climbing ropes. And,
yeah, old stuff.
Like a hand-over-hand jungle gym that he made in there. It's nuts.
Yeah.
So John calls me up out of the blue, and he says, Raj, I need something from you. Like, great. I want to sell you something. And he says, but it's not equipment. Like, okay, what is it? He says, I want you to do a PR package for me.
Uh-huh.
I want your writing and your photography skills.
Yep.
He says, you know, I'm getting killed by these places like, that big gym chain that has the
Planet Fitness and all that. Yes, yeah, all that yes, stuff. Yes. Yep. Yep.
And I said, okay, John, we'll do something. He says, but here's the thing, Raj. I'm getting killed. I don't want to pay you. I'm like, yeah, that's a good deal too.
Yeah.
He says, but I know that you're always looking for equipment. I'm like, yeah. I said, you know, I'm actually looking for a power rack right now. My son needs one.
Yep.
And he says, like, really heavy duty? He says, because I've got one.
Whoa.
And I said, yeah, I'd prefer it to be really heavy duty.
Mm-hmm.
He says, does it have to be new? And I said, well, how old is this thing? He says, I think it might have been a York one from, I don't know, the early 60s or something. It's made
sure.
with this channel iron.
Yep.
And it's real narrow. It got, you know, a chin-up bar at the top and, you know, little J-hooks and
yep.
rods. I said, yeah, that'll do it.
Yep. Yeah.
He says, that's actually what you're hoping for, isn't it? I said, hey, end of discussion, man. You got
sure,
it.
Sure, sure.
So I've got it here now. It's set up. I still need to bolt it to the platform.
Yeah, now
those
okay.
narrow ones
yeah.
need to be bolted down.
Because they used to bolt them to the wall, too, didn't they? Did they have a setup for that you could do?
Yes,
I think,
they
yeah.
did.
Right.
And a lot of guys wouldn't buy the brackets
yeah.
to bolt it to the wall because
yeah.
they just make their own.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I want to put one out in my yard, too. I've had a couple people approach me and say, you know, I could build you a titanium rack. It won't ever rust or anything. I'm like, you know, the cost of it was prohibitive, I'm sure, unless they want to work something out. And, you know, when we talk about racks, especially with your son and everything, and these kids that we're trying with all of our heart and might to say, hey, look, you missed out on an era there where there's so much to be taught with a power rack and the gains you can make off a power rack, and you can still stick with your standard lifts when we talk about the squat today and the deadlift or the row or both. I know most people like the bench press, but we like overhead, but there's nothing wrong with executing a bench press when it's safely done. And if I was going to be alone, you know, obviously Roger deals with this stuff, you got to get a bench that you can slide in and out of the rack, because I don't care if you're doing them, you know, off a set of saddles down, you got your rods in there in case you get caught, but you got to have something like that, and you have to have something sturdy that's going to hold your body weight and whatever you want to go after. And the thing when you do these racks, I mean, as once Raj gets the rack set up for he and his son, I've been around enough kids that we've done stuff here with you. It like lights them on fire, because it's like something new, something that is very difficult no matter how light you start. But yet, even after the first time you do it, you can already feel a difference in your body. And that's where these programs are really lost right now. You know, I've talked to Raj. I've talked to you anyways. We've talked about Gareth Denyer, who's on here, and a number of other people that either own gyms or they deal with, you know, high school kids with training. And, you know, that's the thing now. Most of them are highly unaware of this stuff. the majority of them don't care, because the idea with most people, it's been like this forever, it's just not now, but because of the supplement industry now and the way they push garbage, the majority of it through, is, you know, pecs and biceps and the hell with the legs and everything else. And, you know, you're not playing football for long when you're like that, and most programs wouldn't let you. But, you know, Gareth tells me, my brother-in-law, everybody, you know, most of them don't know anything about a rack. If they're going to do any type of rack work, obviously it's going to be with their other teammates. But, you know, the thing is, too, as Gareth will tell me, the work ethic and the ability to try to get a lot of these young kids doing this stuff is falling by the wayside. I mean, it's getting pretty bad in some areas of this stuff. That's why when I talk to John, that's why I talk to Roger, this is why the ability to get into a power rack and train safely, especially when, say, your partner doesn't show up that night. We know people get sick, they have death in the family, they get injured, whatever. And unless you're with a bunch, and to be honest with you, I don't like having a lot of people all at once trying to run one or two power racks, because it can get not only confusing, but people can get hurt that way, and they're not properly trained. If you're going to start doing a dead start, dead stop program, as we call it around here, that's not something you're just going to pick up and do, all right? And you will get severely hurt, believe me. I'll give it right to you, Roger, momentarily, but here's something that's interesting. Russell Furr, who was on here last week, who's made incredible gains in the last year, and he'll be the first to tell you, I mean, he started listening to Eminem from the beginning, and this is what he does. He says he's been going back to all the early shows, too, because he likes just to hear how the show has evolved, okay? And he was telling me he was in a gym, you know, in the gym he goes to recently, and there was a kid, I think he was about 13 or 14, and he was on squat stands, and he saw he had like 135 on this bar. He said, there's no way this guy's going to do it, all right? So he'd been watching him out of the corner of his eye, and finally he walked over to him. He said, hey, why don't I teach you how to get in a power rack just for your safety's sake, all right? And the kid agreed to it. So they load the Olympic bar up. Russell teaches him how to do everything, how to set the pins and the rods. And just like I figured, and I'm sure you can figure this real easy, he got under 135. Where do you think it took him? If he didn't have the rods there, he would have went through the floor. It took him down so fast, okay? So, not only is the power rack, in my opinion, besides, I guess we got to say the Olympic bar, the barbell, because you need something to lift, but I'll tell you, it's a flip of a coin with me. By far, one of the greatest pieces of equipment ever developed, built, and we're still doing it, and go ahead and take it, but you know, I just think the ability to work even once a week, the dead start, dead stop stuff that we are going to talk about a little bit, is really the key to these kids really being better and better athletes. So take it away, Roger.
Well, you know, the first thing that I teach anybody in a power rack is, just like Russell there,
yeah,
is it, to use it as a safety rack.
Yep.
And I really dislike the term safety rack. And, you know, I would – when I sold stuff on the road, weightlifting equipment on the road to dealerships.
Sure.
I'd get these showroom managers that always called a power rack a safety rack. And I'd say, no, it's a power rack which you can train in,
yep,
safely.
Exactly.
And then they'd say, hey, all right, so why are these called safety rods then? And I'd say, they're not called safety rods. They're just called rods.
Yep.
And yes, you use the rods for safety.
Mm-hmm.
But the rods are also there as tools,
mm-hmm,
to be used with the barbell. So, you know, you can push up against your rods. You can do start from a dead stop with the rods. I always tell people, if you have an opportunity to get a second set of rods with your power rack,
yeah,
buy them, and buy them with your rack, because,
yep,
odds are you're not going to find the right size rods after the fact, because even though that company is going to keep selling power racks probably forever, they might go through a design change once a year.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, and, you know, it's just like cars. It, you know, they're not the days of selling a Model T for 20 years straight with no changes. You know, are many, many years gone at this point.
Absolutely.
And it's the same way with fitness equipment. And, you know, I know that I can have another set of rods made for
sure
my power rack.
Yep.
Because not only can I get things fabricated, but mine is about the most simple design of a power rack you can get. Now, there is one clever thing on this rack that kind of blew my mind, and how these things are still there and part of the set, I don't know. But the rods have a pair of short pipes, mm-hmm. maybe 5 inches long, that go with them.
Oh, wow.
And these short pipes are meant where you actually have two separate holes drilled for the linchpins
yep.
in the back.
Yep.
These pipes you put in before, it, you know, you put your rod through the pipe.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put your rod through the power rack, and then you use the outside linchpin hole on the back
mm-hmm.
to lock it into place.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even a tight fit. So what it means is these two pieces of pipe
yeah.
will rotate when you move your bar left to right to center it in the power rack.
Interesting. Really interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really interesting. When I worked for the Nebula company, we came yep. up with a similar concept. And the owner there had sort of a industrial background. And he came up with a, I forget what kind of bearing it was called, but it was a roller
yeah.
that actually went in the J-hook. And your hook rolled. And it was a super heavy-duty bearing kind of thing. Those bearings would have never gone bad.
No.
I don't know how many of them he ever sold with that option.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a clever thing, and I'd never seen anything like this for the rods themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what a simple concept.
Yep. It's
so elegantly simple. I was like, wow, this somebody was thinking at some point. God knows if York sold them this way or if this is even a York rack. It's, you know, it's definitely a design that York was selling early on.
Oh, yeah.
But as soon as York came out with power racks, everybody was knocking them off.
Oh, yeah.
At that point, because they, you know, the genie was out of the bottle
mm-hmm.
at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody said, oh, my God, why didn't I make one of these years ago? It, you know, if nothing else, for the safety aspect. And, it, you know, I know that Jackson at 10 will be able to go into the rack and set the rods at the at a bottom position if he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
And if he puts the bar overloaded beyond what he can handle in the J-hooks,
yeah.
and he steps out with it, and he starts going down and gets buried,
oh, yeah.
he's not going to get crushed and break his spine.
Exactly. He's safe. It's,
yep. Yeah. It's there is a safety aspect to it, and you know, you hope that people aren't really going to use the safety aspect of the power rack as their only
avenue to getting into it, basically. But you know, it is a power rack. Not, I mean, I've got three of them, and you know, none of them are real pretty. And that's what I like about them, because they look like something that you, not only you got to respect right away, but realize that this thing is serious business. Because as I always say, visual effects have a lot of bearing on people that really are interested, and that is something you're very interested in. And the second big thing about a power rack is it builds confidence like you wouldn't believe. I mean, I don't care if you have problems with it. You know, people say they're failures. They're not. They're basically, it's another way to learn. But the nice thing is, once you start get going with this stuff and you learn how to load the bar properly, I'm not a big fan of sets, reps, the whole thing. If you want, I never go over 3 to 5, but I always work singles pretty much, because we got talking about this the other day, and it's like, you know, what is it that when you go to do something big, how many reps do you usually do to complete it perfectly? Well, that's a single, one. And we are like, why do we got to do more? What more is going to do? Well, some people like to vary stuff. Hopefully my little nephew who's 7, who I've got sandbag lifting already.
That's great. You know what?
Yeah.
This is where I'll hear people say all the time, oh my God, he's lifting heavy sand.
Yeah,
he's seven years old.
Yeah.
He's going to hurt himself.
Exactly.
And I say, what is the difference between sandbag lifting and, say, lifting sacks of grain or flour?
I don't know. Look, the wrong seed has been planted in people's heads for a long time about weightlifting. Dangerous,
that in a really weak minded attitude.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. But you know what? You know what? You know, just from your own son and kids you've been around, and the same with me. When they take a 7 or 8 pound sandbag, and look, I'm smart enough to know I can see what a kid can handle. I'm not going to ever jeopardize anything with them if I can help it, okay? Things happen now and then. There's nothing you can do about it, but the majority of the time, there's nothing like success. But watch a kid. My niece does it too. She's incredible. That's the one, Maggie, who I put a picture up about a month ago. She was up to school with my brother-in-law in the workout room. She can't be 60 pounds soaking wet. There she is ripping 110 or 120 off with a farmer's walk implement and pulling it up with a straight deadlift, man, right in the center of it in the handle. What I'm saying is here, and I am bragging, by the way. I know people say, "Oh, you're bragging." Yeah, I am bragging. All right, it's great.
What other kids are doing that today?
Well, that's the thing, and this is what I want to tell you. And you see it with Jackson, I'm sure too. I know Charlie sees it with Lawrence.
When Jackson has competed, he's only been in 2 meets.
Yep.
But I think every lift he's done, maybe one of his competitive lifts, he didn't set some kind of a national or world record.
Right, but the point is, Raj,
his coach,
right,
John McCain.
Yeah, but did you ever notice that? This is the main point of what I'm getting at. Did you ever see the smiles on their faces, and you can read them and say, "Holy shit, I just accomplished something." That's my point about all this with the power rack today and everything. And you know, you use them. I'm using them now to the extent which is out of sight. And I got to tell you, man, it brings glee to you. I'm not kidding you. I mean, everybody says, "Oh, been training 30 years. Aren't you tired of it?" And you'll meet somebody out and they're like, "You're still lifting?" No, I decided I'm not going to do it anymore. I've only been doing it my whole life. You know, get over it, will you? And I see those kids, man, and I'm telling you, the excitement, the joy, all that stuff. And I just think all that stuff is so incredible for a kid. I never push these kids. They usually come to me. They come over here. First thing out of their mouth, "Can we go in the back?" And I've got the 15-inch tire they flip, or the farmer's walk with the bricks, or I teach them how to do grip work, and I have them do step-ups on cinder blocks. The point of the matter is here, I don't have to force-feed them to do anything. They come and get me, all right? That's a big thing, because that's initiative, and that's what we're talking about today. You know, kids, younger kids, high school kids, I don't care how old you are, you know, go into that protected rack. Do your squatting. Do your rebound squatting. Learn how to go into that rack. Set the rods at the bottom. You know, contact Roger, contact myself. More than happy to help, okay? If you live in Albany, New York, get a hold of me. There's a million ways. I'll bring you here and work you out. But if you're under 18 years old, you have to have a parent with you. That's the way it is here.
You know what? One of the coolest things
ever
seen is
what?
When Jackson can go onto a platform and compete right after, like, 89-year-old Art Montini.
Hey, there you go.
And
it's badass.
You know,
yep.
Art Montini's doing a lift, and Jackson's doing a lift, and the two guys will coach each other. I'll never forget Art Montini asking my son if his technique was right. Like, Art Montini knows if his technique.
Yeah,
right.
Well, yeah, but it's good.
You know
it's
what?
Good for him, man.
Yeah,
it involves him. Yeah, it is, and that's what
Jackson talks about him.
Well,
it's like, oh yeah, my buddy Art Montini. You know.
Yep. Yeah. Well, hey, look,
we were hanging out.
The bottom line is this: lifting is the best thing you can ever do. I don't care what anybody tells you. And second of all, you build a camaraderie and you learn from people and you learn by doing and you learn by your setbacks and you learn by your goals and you learn by all the achievement you make. There aren't many things out there, folks, like that, and especially in today's world. And we see what's happening with kids, especially with the rampant diabetes and everything. Let me tell you, a power rack, some good people would be around. You got a father like Roger, or you got uncles like me, or any of these people on here. Charlie with 7-year-old Lawrence lifting, you know, the Ard Blair Atlas Stump. I mean, let me tell you, it makes me have so much hope for kids when I see these kids and hear about them, because this isn't the norm, folks, which it should be the norm. All right?
If you're a parent.
Yep.
And you're thinking, why don't I see as many kids outside playing in the neighborhood
as when
I was a kid?
There you go.
There aren't fewer kids.
No.
They're just not outside playing.
Nope.
And they need to be. That running and jumping and moving around and falling and all that kind of thing is good for them.
Yep. It sure is. It develops things. But we're getting near the end of the show. Let's talk about just a good foundational formulated rack program to go. So let's take the squat, okay? Let's try to use the power rack as much as we can. So for anybody that's doing squats, working with squats, knows how to squat properly, obviously we don't need to tell you. But let's talk about the dead start squat. Okay, so I'll start it out, chime in whenever you want. The best way is you got to have somebody with you. I usually do some type of either a long ruler that you would see, you know, like for working on a house, or a tape measure, and have them get in a what do you want to call it? Parallel or slightly lower, not much lower position, and match the hole where you measure them from, okay? So now we got our reference point to start. We put the long rods in. What do we say? All right, let's just say, for instance, we're doing 5 sets of 5 with the conventional rebound. What would you go with sets and reps now on the rods? Now, mind you, we might be doing all 3 movements in one day, but let's just go one per day. What would you go, Roger, with the dead start stuff, reps and sets?
Well, you know, for a beginner,
yep,
I'm a huge fan of the 5x5.
Okay.
And, you know, I actually believe in doing it like an Olympic lifter,
mm-hmm.
where you find out where rock bottom is.
Right.
And that's where you have your rods set.
Okay.
So that your bar is sitting on your shoulders comfortably.
Yep.
Rock bottom, and you squeeze yourself under that bar,
mm-hmm.
and go up.
Yep.
And it's excuse me there. That 5x5 is, you know, you're not going to do as much weight.
Nope.
Because it's rock bottom, and you're doing five sets of five.
Okay, now let me just reiterate, though. Remember now, they're doing the conventional squat before that, too.
Well, if they're doing conventional squats before that,
yep.
Then, I generally tell people to do doubles.
Yeah. So maybe three sets. Because remember, if we're doing a five set of five with a conventional rebound lift, all we want to do is introduce this into their training. I don't want to beat them through the floor, basically.
If you're going to just introduce it,
yeah.
Do two sets of doubles.
Yeah.
And
yep.
The other thing that I've done over time is I've also done singles,
mm-hmm.
but three singles.
Yeah.
And what you will often find is your first single is not very good.
Right.
Your second single is probably going to be your best one. But your third one is the one where you get the real growth
yep.
out of it, because you're tired, and even though you've rested in between a single lift,
mm-hmm.
If you've put everything into that movement, by the time you've done two of them,
yeah, you're probably
your
shot.
Third one,
yep.
Your third one, you're going to have to probably take some weight off the bar.
Yeah, yep.
Because if you don't have to take weight off the bar for your third attempt, your second lift, you didn't have enough weight on that.
Yeah, and one thing I want to caution everybody on, too, when you do that, all right, if you're doing a conventional, say, five sets of five, four sets of five, and you either do doubles or you do singles with this, remember, you have never done it before. Empty bar is usually the way to start. I wouldn't go any more than 50% of your max. So if you're squatting, and it'll probably still be too much, say 300, 150 still might be a chore. Because, see, you're not going to have the groove yet for that. So you have to...
It's going to be totally different.
Totally different. Remember, no rebound, folks.
I tell guys to find their starting weight.
Yep.
By, over a period of a month or two.
Yeah.
Because, there's no hurry in doing this. And if you do it completely wrong and somehow hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Because you haven't figured out how to do something, maybe Eric and I think, why would you do it that way?
Right.
Well, if you've never done it before, and God forbid you looked at the wrong video on YouTube or something with some clown that really doesn't know what they're doing.
That's right.
There is a learning curve on this.
Without a doubt.
While you're learning, you are getting stronger.
Yep.
So everybody wants to do as much weight as possible.
You won't do it. You'll get hurt doing that. You know what I mean? And always remember, when you put those rods in, they're locked behind. I don't care if you check them three times, because if that rod is not securely locked into the rack and that thing ever had any type of wiggle room in it and that came out, one side would get dumped on you. And don't forget, when you're doing that, collar your weights down. No sloppiness. Don't worry about the weight and get under it and push it for all your might. I do things a little bit different. I start, like, if I had your son, or Danny's only 7, he's a little young, but he plays around with that the York bar that I bought from you years ago, the 1-inch bar. If I was going to do it with Danny, and say he was your son's age, I would start him right out with isometrics with an empty bar. And I'll tell you why. And this is very interesting. I discovered a lot of this with the tri-quad. And like yourself, I have three sets of rods for the rack. Three. because I can do a dual set of dead stop anything with those rods. I'm not saying anymore. That's another little toy I play with, which is real interesting. You can go heavy, light, medium, whatever the hell you want it, the holes you put it in. I would do the isometrics, and I'll tell you why. What I found, Raj, is this. Obviously, the bar's not going to be forever. It seems to be able to put them in a nice pathway like that. I know it's stopping them at a point, but what I find is, and I even find that with myself sometimes when I come back and start over again, like I said, especially if I'm going to run it against the rack with a bar that I'm not really caring about, I can tell you this, there's nothing like the rod eventually to stop you. It seems to build a pathway that is much different from when you're doing it just off the rods and you want to get up straight, okay? Because we all know dead start, dead stop training is to learn the pathway itself, to come off evenly because you got to get yourself set under there. How many times I can tell you still, I come off on one side a lot of times. You got to get yourself grooved in, locked into it. Best thing I do, especially if I'm going to start at the bottom, I make sure I got my traps. I'm wiggling them under it, trying to grind them right into the bar. At that point, you know, you've taken your breaths. I hold a breath in, boom, out of the hole with it. Now, and that's what I like about it. It's just like stone lifting. It comes up or it comes off the ground. No excuses. All right, so that's the squat. I mean, now with the deadlift, obviously we know. Where do you like to start? Mid-shin, below the shin, just below the knee? Obviously, how do you like to do if you're going to do a partial pull like that?
You know, I like starting just below the knee.
Okay.
And okay. The reason I like that is because that is a transition point.
Yep.
And the transition points are where people get stuck.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, Smitty taught me the most important spots to work are your sticking points.
Absolutely.
If
absolutely.
You're getting stuck there, then that means it's your weak spot.
Yep.
And the funny thing is your weak spot will change because once that spot is stronger –
yep.
It's not that the other spots get weaker, but relatively, that spot is now strong. And let's say you're only able to do 100 pounds, and now you can get through that at that spot.
Yep.
Then there's going to be another spot that's maybe 102 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so now you've got to work that spot. And then you keep doing that. And, you know, of course, you're doing your other lifting, too.
Yeah, right. Because and remember this, folks, you know, whether you use straps or not, don't use straps for it. Holding something big and standing up with it, and if you can go clean grip with it, that much better. Use your grip. Build your hands, your pulling power initially with your own hands. Do some holds, things of that nature. But once again, like we were talking about, you've never done it before, and go slow with it. Now, as far as a pressing movement, obviously we can do a dead stop press overhead, obviously a bench press too, and that's going to come down to obviously what are you doing for your movement. Most people, I'm sure nowadays, especially the younger kids, are all doing bench pressing. Whether we do where we slide the bench in there, you know, one that you have with nothing on the back, obviously, and you pull it off like you normally would off the little J hooks, set your rods, do your conventional benching. Now, as we talked,
or maybe somebody's doing it off the floor.
I love that. I mean, that's all I do is floor pressing. But if you're not, all right, it's the same thing we talked about before. I would never start with the bar laying right on top of you when you bench press, especially at a dead start. I would make it a midi at least. So if your holes are 2 inches apart, you know, you're going to have to get on that bench and get somebody in there with you and figure at least 6 inches to 8 inches. Now that's going to be kind of high. I know that. But it's better to start at something like that and work your way down. All right. By that, I mean, and this is something you're going to have to go talk to a Roger or an Eric. All right. How are we going to work that down? Well, it could be quarter inch plywood. It could be eighth inch. It could be half inch. And what you do is you stick that under your bench, stay at the same range, and keep working it like that. Before you know it, you'll be able to go 2 inches down to your sixth hole. And that's how you would break down.
Is the one thing that I am not a fan of.
What's that?
Is these people who put boards on their chest.
Yeah, I'm with you that 100%.
To me, that's, you know, really, you know, I do all kinds of things that many people would say are not safe. You know, one-hand barbell snatches and, you know, what.
Yeah, but that's different. You let it go. When you got that over your face, you might be buying a new face.
Well, yeah, and there have been many people over the years who have ended up with, you know, having to make a serious trip to the dentist for new teeth.
Absolutely.
Or
absolutely.
Worse yet,
yep.
And you'd say, well, what could be worse than that? The bar slides down on their neck.
Yeah, kill you.
And it kills them.
Yep.
And, every 5 or 10 years, you hear about that happening.
Yep,
to somebody.
Absolutely.
And it's not just, you know, the bozo at the gym who took, you know, a few too many hits on the football field.
Yeah, absolutely.
It can be like promising collegiate football players people where you say, well, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, there are lawyers who end up asking the same question. And it's because, I'm just not a – so let's just say I'm not a big fan of putting boards on your chest as the starting point.
No. And don't do that. And we talked about safety. Please, if you end up going in and doing this stuff, I'm going to tell you right now, out of everything besides making sure the rods are pinned correctly through the hole, please, I'm going to say this again. Make sure your bar is collared on both sides.
I've heard guys say, oh, no, I don't use collars.
Okay.
Because if I get pinned,
yep.
I want to be able to push my bar down to have the plates come off.
Here's
the thing.
Yeah.
The plates probably aren't going to come off because they get jammed on there when they're on an angle.
Yeah, and have you ever seen, I've seen it, it's scary as hell. People unload one side or you roll it and one side comes off. You know what happens? That bar's like a flying friggin' fan coming at you. That will rip you in half. If you ever get hit by a bar that has just been dumped on one side and is in a squat saddle or in a bench position, you better pray to God it goes the other way. Because if that thing comes and hits you, you're as good as dead. If not, you're in the ER and you're going to have a lot of surgery.
Yeah, so, broken arms.
Yeah, anything.
Like that.
It's
not good.
No. So as we finish up here, this is all I want to say, and I'll give it to you, Raj, and you can summarize and give all your info, is this. You know, do your conventional lifts, great. But if you want to start breaking into a little bit dead stop, dead start, that's how you do it. There's a lot more information, obviously, but if you do, I would suggest, if you've never done it, to definitely find someone that does this stuff. Because it can be the greatest thing you've ever done, but it is deadly as hell. And I'm not trying to scare anybody. I would love to see people do it.
The other way to look at it is take it slow.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because
empty bar.
Bob Peoples,
yep.
with his weird setup, got to over 700-pound deadlifts. Odds are you're never going to get to 700-pound deadlifts. Bob Peoples took his time.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
So, you know, unless you're going to suddenly be able to do something that no one in history has ever been able to do.
Yep. Take your time.
You know, take your time. Mm-hmm. Really listen to your body. And think through the things that you see.
Yep.
And the safety issue really is an issue.
Sure is.
And I can't stress, I cannot overly stress common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And applying that common sense, especially if you've decided that you're going to follow a YouTube guy or something like that.
Yeah, don't do that. Right, right.
Because, you know, there's some great stuff out there on YouTube. There really is. But there's a lot of bad stuff, too. Mm-hmm. And I just can't stress too much using common sense.
Yep.
And absolutely. Question it. Question
yep.
us.
Yep.
We've got years of experience, but I still do a lot of reading.
Oh, I do too. Things. Sure.
I was
absolutely.
Reading a old SAS physical training manual yesterday.
Yep.
And even though we all know that smoking is bad, I read the section on why somebody shouldn't smoke and the studies that they've done
mm-hmm.
saying, how much it detracts from the physical performance of military recruits.
Mm-hmm.
So, do I know smoking is bad? Yeah, I know smoking's bad. Now I know exactly how bad for certain
yeah, absolutely. performances. Without a doubt. Yep.
And that's good. So, guys like Eric and I, we're learning about this stuff all the time. That being said, so should you.
Yeah.
And question everything.
Yep. But something? Question it, but don't be afraid to go in and do it. But have people around you if you're going to embark on anything like this, or go out and get the proper training, because I'm telling you right now, you learn this stuff correctly, and it'll last you a lifetime. Raj, give out any info. I'll give mine out, and just hang on the line if you would, please.
Yeah, yeah. So the company is Atomic Athletic, but I want to tell you about that new photo site again.
Yep.
It's the Garage Gym Journal. I just lost it here. Okay, garagegymjournal.photoreflect.com.
Okay.
And I'll be putting more and more photos up there. But the stuff that's up there right now is pretty darn cool and certainly hasn't been available before.
Yeah.
And I'm adding stuff all the time. In fact, I just got a disc of some really high-grade scans to be printed off of judo mm-hmm. exercises from Japan. I may have mentioned that in a previous show.
Yep. Yep.
And they're going to be available.
Awesome.
And this is the archivist that I was working with, who is associated with the university, thinks that photos on that kind of paper from Japan, he thinks came from probably the 1930s.
Wow.
Which is... and maybe it was the 1940s, maybe it was the 1950s.
Yeah.
It's still cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's still really, really freaking cool. And, I'm not a judo guy. I've done a little bit of martial arts. I'm no martial artist. But I look at the guy in the photos and I go, oh, man, that guy's tough looking.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you can tell. He got that look and demeanor. There's no doubt about it. What else you got?
So it's the Garage Gym Journal and it's Atomic Athletic.
Okay.
And that's what I do.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. Go on out and look at FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Obviously, you have the Winners and Champions Inc. project. Contribute to the company. We'd appreciate anything that you'd like to give. The Manly Men's movement, that page is just about finished. Motivation Muscle has a brand new page, still in progress, but it looks damn good. Go out and look at all the shows we've done. We've done now close to, I believe, probably 900 now. That's a lot of shows in a little over 3 years. If you would like to get our newsletter, same thing, motivationandmuscle.com. You can get it right there. Sign up whenever I put one out. I haven't been real good with them lately, but I was doing them every week. I will get back on that after the new year, obviously. I'm trying to think what else. I think that's it with that. Go out to iTunes and Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. That's what we always got, and I thank you for that. AHA, that's AHA, that's a directory where you can get M&M 24/7. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to give 5 words of inspiration. 5 words can change your life. If there's a show you'd like Roger and I to do, Fiorello Barbell at nicap.r.com. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get for that day, and that is very, very pertinent for this time of year. As we know, there's a lot of people walking around that aren't doing so well during Christmas, let me tell you. It's great if you meet up with somebody like that. You know, it's always nice to be kind to somebody. It doesn't hurt, especially when you're a strong man or strong woman. Give them a little of that power you got. As they say, as I say, like with the Hulk, give them a little bit of that gamma. You'd be surprised what will happen to them. Also, too, don't forget, if you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, squat it, pull it, press it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. The great Hoose of Steel, Stone Crusher, says in blood red on it, domination, we are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone's. Also, dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. Also, too, no one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers, and that will always be, believe me, we will never get timid. I can guarantee you that. Frank Klein, my greatest business professor in college, repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor and like a father figure to me. We lost him 3 years to cancer this past summer. He'd walk every patient in the door and say, keep smiling. Try that on your best or worst day, or just say it to yourself and see what you feel like. That's what we're going to be talking about a lot in 2018. There's going to be a lot of different movement here at M&M. I can't wait, because I've been dying to do this stuff for the last 3 years. It's time to do it. There's tons of stuff with training, with everything we talk about, but boy, oh boy, there's an awful lot more to go out and run with, and we start in January with it. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 or more of your friends, we are coming. We won't kick your door in. We'll blow the roof right off your house. Join the family, join the revolution. 30 years where we need one another, and the world needs us now more than ever, in my opinion, because there's an awful lot of starving hearts out there looking for somewhere to go, something to do, and something to believe in. And believe me when I say it, I talk to people all over. I hear this all over the place. So we will fill that void if we haven't already. I love this. And I'm very fortunate and blessed to be able to do what I do, because not everybody in their life gets to go out and serve and be part and talk about things that are important to them and others. That's what we do here, and we will continue with this for a long, long time. Also, too, Les Brown, you all have greatness in you. We take it 2 steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. And I don't know how many people in today's world that would put something out like that. Believe me, it's very, very important. Raj, obviously, it's always an honor to have you on. Merry Christmas. We'll be talking in the new year, and we'll get you on in January in 2018. And let's see where all this power rack stuff goes. I'm going to have a lot more updates, and I'm trying to get John McCain on here, but, you know, he never thinks he knows enough, I guess. So we've already talked about having Robbie get Skype on for him. I would be so happy to have John on next year. He is such a wealth of knowledge, and he's just a great guy. I mean, you talk to him, and you walk away, and you're like, wow. not only did I learn something, but you get inspired, and that's what it's all about. So thanks for being on, Raj, and like I said, we will reconvene next month, sir.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Eric.
Anytime, Raj. Absolutely. Glad to have you. So for Roger, same to you. For Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. This show, well, I don't know if I'm going to get the one up from today. We did two. This is the third one I've done today. I might take tonight off. If not, we'll have one show up today. Then we'll have Will's up on Thursday, and we'd have Roger's up on Friday. Because I've got, I'm trying to think. We've got people all over. Tony Farragi is going to be on. Everybody's going to go nuts when he's a strong man from Malta. Steve Cotter's on the way. Ken Nowicki, Martin Janzik's. I've got notes from people while we were on with Roger that I can't do this weekend with all the stuff going on. We've got a few people on. We got a gentleman on who went and lifted the Husafell stone recently this year. It's just, it's unbelievable all the stuff going on. So we're looking at a lot of excitement, a lot of big changes. We might start slower out of the gate than we do because of all the stuff going on, but I can guarantee you you're going to really enjoy 2018, and it's going to be as aggressive as ever and more fun than ever because I think now everybody's seeing, well, he's been around almost 4 years. I guess he's here to stay. As I say, only an act of God's going to kill me. That's about it, and that's the only way you won't hear my voice. So for Roger LaPointe, this is Eric Fiorello. Have a great rest of the week. We will be doing at least another show, but I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. You are all winners and champions, and don't forget that. Go into the new year thinking that, because what you believe, you become. And we know that what you think about most, you become. And it's very, very important. So have a great week, everybody. We will talk to you soon. And I look forward to talking to you again by the end of the week. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.